Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Hello, everyone. Yes. So I guess, Tuesday, me and Ellie celebrated our 1 year anniversary of being at Oceanside at the church. And this Sunday, thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you all for your encouragement and just your support in the past year. You've really made us feel like this is our new home, and we are so happy to be here with you. And this Sunday would be, today would actually be the 1 year Sunday, I guess, anniversary for us. So it's really special to be able to speak in this series, the Summer in the Psalms series. So if you look at your Summer in the Psalms handout, if it's in front of you or if you look online, you can see that this is week two and that we're reflecting on the wisdom psalms. But we're focusing mainly on one psalm, and that is Psalm 1. First, I just want to assure you that I didn't just read the first psalm and then decide not to read the rest. I promise you, I did read them all. But I really feel that this is a good psalm to help us reflect on the rest of our wisdom psalms. I want to encourage you all, whether it's today or later on, I do think that you would experience the full effect of this message and any following it by reading through our list of psalms, by looking at that handout. I myself am not a natural or speedy reader. I'm actually definitely the slowest reader and typist on staff, but I was able to take these psalms in gradually over a few days. So I encourage you to read along as we continue through this series. Psalm 1 helps us look at the rest of these wisdom psalms, I think. But in Psalm 1, there's lots of recurring themes in our wisdom psalms, but in Psalm 1, we're going to look at two broader themes that I think encompass the others. We see a tension between the way of God's wisdom and the way of our wisdom. And we see delight in the law of the Lord. So we'll touch on the tension between these wisdoms and the delight of the law, and then we'll talk about how the reality of Christ affects those. And I'll just ask you now to stand if you're able to honor God's word as we read together. And we are in Psalm 1. We're just going to read the whole psalm. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor the sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. May God bless the reading of his word. Thank you. You may be seated. So we see a tension here in Psalm 1 when we look at verse 6. It mentions the way of the wicked and the way of the righteous. It says that the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. Now these two groups, the wicked and the righteous, these are two groups that have decided basically to cling to two different ways of life. They've decided to either live by trusting the world's version of wisdom or by seeking God's wisdom. In the Old and New Testament, groups of people were sometimes seen as and called wicked, but being a sinner or being righteous isn't really about belonging to a certain group of people at all. It's really about choosing to follow the Lord or not. In the beginning, God created us to function in a certain way. To enjoy the rest of creation, to work to preserve it, to live eternally in close relationship with God the Father, and to stay in that close relationship by trusting and obeying him. And man sinned because of a distrust in God. Adam and Eve failed to trust in God's wisdom, and they instead leaned on their own understanding to give them a life of fulfillment and purpose. But because of this original sin, mankind instead experience the natural consequence of separation from the perfect God. And they were sentenced to a life that would include toiling and eventually end with death. In the Old Testament, we also learn about the laws God gave humans after the fall. And these laws were intended to keep people safe from harm and further separation from God. And when I think about the fall and I think about God's laws, I think about me and Ellie and our family going to the beach. My kids, they love the water. They especially love it when it's deep enough for them to stand up to their necks in it. And often, Ellie or I will give them an instruction to not go too deep or to just be careful. And there have been times when one of our kids was a little overconfident in their ability to tread water or swim, and they ended up swallowing some water or needing a quick rescue. And the result of that was Ellie and I giving them a smaller or more defined boundary. And it's because we don't want them to grow farther from us, and we don't want them to be subject to worse natural consequences. And my kids, they have to trust that I have the wisdom to keep them safe, to preserve their lives, to give them the best shot. And this is what it means to trust in the Lord's wisdom. If we trust in the spotty, imperfect wisdom of our parents or our work team leaders or a mentor, anybody else, and we take into consideration the boundaries they've given us in any one area, how much more then should we trust in the perfect wisdom of the God who created us to thrive? But getting back to our tension, how does the world's version of wisdom rub up against the encouragement and instruction to delight in God's commands? Think back to Adam and Eve and their decision to trust in their own wisdom. It's been explained by a well-known preacher and author, Timothy Keller, that in our current culture, we deal with a similar truth narrative, one that says, only I have the right to decide what is right and wrong for me. But there is a point where that philosophy falls apart, right? Imagine if we all subscribe to that line of thinking. The result would be chaos and destruction. Imagine if you and I both subscribe to that line of thinking, and in conversation, I told you something like, I've started cheating on my wife, Ellie. Now, if you've taken any time to get to know Ellie, you know that's impossible for anybody to ever want to do. But humor me and just imagine for a moment that you and I both believe that we ourselves get to decide what's right and wrong. And imagine that I told you this. I would imagine you responding pretty negatively, I hope, and telling me that what I'm doing is wrong. But I would ask you, why is it wrong? Is it wrong because you say so? Well, what if I say it's good? How can you say that my decision to lie, to cheat, to steal, or to kill is wrong without there being some objective law or authority? Well, the reason we just know deep down it's wrong is because even though we each have some sinful desires, deep down, we were created to function a certain way. We were meant to live trusting God and obeying his commands. We are God's children. Excuse me, this is a little cheesy, but we are God's children swimming in the ocean of life. And we need to trust that God has the wisdom to keep us safe, to preserve our lives, to give us the best shot. In the Old Testament, the law told us how to remain obedient to God. And in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit living inside our hearts is what helps us obey him. In the Old Testament, obedience to the law was what showed our trust in God's wisdom. And in the New Testament, the acceptance of Christ's atonement gives us the Holy Spirit who guides us with wisdom. There's a shift from the guidelines of the law to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. The psalmist in Psalm 1, verses 2 and 3, is comparing a person who delights in the law of the Lord, the law of the Lord referring to the entire word of God, not just the law portions. The psalmist is comparing the one who meditates on it day and night and delights in it to a tree planted by streams of water. When we delight in his word, we have everything we need. And Jesus declares in John chapter 7 that he is the source of living water that will cause us to never thirst again. Verse 3 also says that this person will bear fruit in season. And in John chapter 15, Jesus tells people that if we abide in him, we will bear much fruit. Jesus came to fulfill the law. In him, we have the Holy Spirit's presence in us, making God's wisdom available to us through his prompting and speaking to our hearts. So how do we delight in God's precepts? How do we delight in God's commands? Well, by remembering and reflecting on and learning more about who God is. In the rest of our wisdom psalms, God is referred to as, in Psalm 62 and 91, one who gives rest. In Psalm 32, he is a hiding place. In Psalm 62 and 91, he is a fortress. In Psalm 36, 64, 73, 91, he is a refuge. In Psalm 92, he is a rock, my rock. Reflect on those descriptions of him just for a moment. The one who gives rest, the hiding place, the fortress, the refuge, and the rock. And ask yourself, are you in need of God's rest? Are you in need of a hiding place? Are you in need of a mighty fortress, a place of refuge, a solid rock? I myself have been repaired in a lot of areas because of God being these things in my life. And experiencing God as my refuge in an exhausted season, experiencing God as my hiding place when I need to retreat, that's how I'm able to delight in his instructions. His love for me makes me want to hold to his word and to seek his wisdom. So please be open to that for yourself. And meditate on the words of Christ day and night. Meditate on the hope, salvation, love, and care that he provides for you. God created us to function a certain way. And when we function in this way, we thrive. And the only way to function the way God intended is to give our lives to Christ and to seek his wisdom for our life, to depend on the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Then we will have everything we need. We will bear much fruit. Our leaves will not wither. And as the band comes up, I'm just going to pray for us. Lord, help us as we reflect on who you are. Help us as we meditate on your love for us. As we meditate on these psalms, thank you for your word. Thank you for these beautiful descriptions of who you are, the fortress, the rock, the hiding place. Show us who you want to be for us in this season. We love you, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.